The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Matthew Millhiser, also known as Hokey Boy, from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I listen to Mike and Michelle on the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 420 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show, back from a little bit of a trip, is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Would love to talk to you about your trip, but we have a lot to talk about in this episode, and maybe in an episode when we have Chris back, who is not here with us, we can talk about the highlights and lowlights of your trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was on the English Channel.
English Channel.
I spent a lot of time in Dover. Mm-hmm. And I want to give a shout-out. Chris is not here with us today, but I want to give a shout-out to Chris because he is actually going to be on Late Night with Seth Meyers on October 6th.
That's right.
That's very cool. Seth Meyers, who is from where?
Lowell.
No, he's not from Lowell. Try again.
Milford.
No, he's not from Milford.
Malden.
He's from
Bedford, New Hampshire.
Yeah, okay. He's from Bedford, New Hampshire. So anyway.
It's in this neighborhood.
Yeah, Seth Meyers from Saturday Night Live. So Chris is going to be on that show. So I know that it will be recording and he'll be doing us. I know he'll mention the Mickey Miles podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's all Seth Meyers wants to hear about.
So how many other Disney podcasts has one of the co-hosts on national television?
I don't think there are any.
There isn't, no.
I don't listen to them all.
So that's pretty cool. We want everybody to have a heads up on that. So mm-hmm. It's coming on later this week. So good luck, Chris. Congratulations. I guess I should give my tip.
Oh, yeah. Give your tip.
30-second tip and 2 minutes, I guess. So this is kind of a tip that pretty much falls for, I would hope, Disneyland. Maybe one of our co-hosts would, or one of our guests would hopefully agree with me. But I know that for years I've been telling people to do this, especially if you're an early riser and you're going to Walt Disney World, take a look at the posted operating hours and whatever the opening time is for any of the parks. Try to be at the turnstiles at least 30 minutes beforehand, because you never know. You never know. And if you can get in there early, especially if you're an early bird, you'll be able to get some park touring in well before everybody. So make sure that...
Most people show up? I agree 100% with this.
I think a lot of people will get to the... depending upon the park. They probably want to get into the parking lot by opening, but I would get there... I want to be at the turnstiles.
No. I'm saying, when do you think, like, the rest of the world shows up? Like, what's the advantage of that?
I think that most of the, I think the first 90 minutes is a golden time for any of the theme parks. Then after that, it's, okay.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, when you thought most of the rest of the world shows
up. Oh, the rest of the world shows up around 10 o'clock.
Ah, that's what I thought, too.
All right.
Okay.
So
you're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. About 10 to 2 is when it starts really filling up, and then and it's every man for himself, every man, woman, and child for himself. We're supposed to do a continuation of what Chris and I started on the previous episode, and that was we were talking about Disney World character dining per request from Jackie Cabrera. But with the Disneyland Paris half marathon just finishing, we wanted to be timely, and we wanted to do a report while the race shoes were warm. So we have an exclusive review coming from the West Coast, from our exclusive West Coast reporters, Lee Zimmerman and Laura Gilbreth. Laura has a blog on allis.net. It's a salute to all things Disney, but mostly Disneyland, and you will be able to read a lot more details of their trip to Disneyland if you happen to go to the blog, which is at allears.net/blogs/Laura Gilbreath, G-I-L-B-R-E-A-T-H. And they are with us. Lee and Laura, thank you for coming on.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour, Lee. Bonjour, La. Comment allez-vous?
Bien.
Bien. So, Crepe Suzette and Quiche Lorraine and everything else. And
croissant.
Where do we start? Where would you like to start?
You guys went to Disneyland Paris.
Yes. Now what are you going to do?
We're going to run a 5K and a half marathon.
Oh, boy. So when I was in England, I like every day I was thinking, oh, I could just cross over the 21 miles and be with my friends in Disneyland Paris. But it did not happen. I was so close to the channel, too. But I was thinking of you guys. We're all in Europe at the same time.
Yeah, we wish you could have joined us.
Yeah, would have been fun.
Michelle decided to rock the boat.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
More of that later.
So my first question to you is, why did you decide to do this? Is it because it was the first Disneyland Paris race, or had you been before? Did you decide that, hey, I want to go to Paris?
Well, so this race had the wonderful I word in it, inaugural. So as soon as they announced it at the Princess Half Marathon in 2015, I said, okay, going to Paris. Never been to Paris, never been to Disneyland Paris. At that point, it was the only Disney park that we hadn't been to. Since then, Shanghai has opened. So we have one more now that we haven't seen yet.
That's another race and another episode. Cool.
That's right. So let's begin at the beginning. One of the things that I heard about, Laura and Lee, was that merchandise was flying off the shelves left and right. And so I guess the best place to start is, what did you think of the expo?
Well, the expo was, similar in some ways, different in some ways, well-run in some ways, not well-run in some ways. So it was their first experience with putting on a Run Disney event. So we figured there were going to be some growing pains, there were going to be some glitches. And so the opening day, there was the usual line of people trying to get into the expo.
Where was it held?
It was held everything at Disneyland Paris is kind of like Disneyland in California. So it's all very compact. It's all very close together. So everything was walking distance from the hotels. Their downtown Disney is right next to the parks. And the event center was at one end of downtown Disney. And that's where the expo was held. That's where the start of the race was. So it was all really easy to get there. We just walked everywhere. So that was really nice. But when we went to check in, we had a line to get in because they were making everybody show that we had our race waiver and our race voucher. So we actually had two documents that we had to have with us for each race. One was a voucher that said, yes, we were in fact registered for this race. And the other was the race waiver where we signed our lives away in French. So... and they were checking that and IDs at the door before they'd let us into the expo. So that was one reason the line was long to get in.
Oh, interesting.
I wonder if that had anything to do with events of the past several months and just them being very, very careful, extra careful to make sure that, yes, you are, bona fide runners, not that a bona fide runner would not be, evil or whatever. But I got to think that was just an extra layer of security.
Possibly.
Yeah. It's hard to know. I mean, they had good perimeter security. So no matter how you came in, whether you came in from the mass transit station or you came in from the front side of one of the resorts, every place you went through, your bags went through a scanner and you went through a metal detector. And if you were unlucky, you could get to do that twice in the process of getting from, your resort to the parks. There was plenty of security anyway. I think they were just trying to make sure that, the people that registered were the people that were getting in. And the other problem, I think there were some people that didn't maybe fully complete the registration process, because you unique thing about long races, at least in France, is you have to get a signed certificate from your doctor, I guess, hopefully proving you're not going to drop dead, you know, in a half marathon, or at least so they can't, you can't hold them liable if you do.
What? Really?
Yeah.
You had to do that before you left?
Yes.
Yes. Wow. And a few, and I think some people didn't based on the email we saw. So part of them checking the voucher was some people had vouchers with like big red blocks across the top of them that were people who either hadn't done that, or people who were signed up for Castle de Chateau and hadn't actually managed to get their proof of a previous Disney race in. So wow. I think they were, it was an extra level of screening, but it was also just sort of, let's head off paperwork problems before people actually get in and get in the line.
So how did you know you had to do that? When you signed up, there were email reminders?
Yeah.
Yeah. When we signed up, even before you signed up, there was information that said you will have to provide a medical certificate. Here is the link to the template that you need to download and take to your doctor, have your doctor sign. So that had to be.
Oh my gosh, what a pain.
Well, but I guess that's the way it is in France. Hmm. And so a lot of people who are familiar with running races over there were just saying, yeah, that's the way it is. Not really a big deal. So we had to do that. We had to upload a copy of that, and then we had to upload a copy of our completion certificate that's available on the Run Disney site after you run a race. It's about shows up a couple weeks later. So we had to upload a copy of that as well. And until you completed the race registration, uploaded your health certificate and the Chateau to Castle de Chateau thing, your race registration was not complete in the system.
So,
and they'd send you nag emails now and then to get you to do it.
So there are people who are listening to the podcast who are saying, Mike, Michelle, come on, ask this question, ask this question. Do you know of anyone who did not do that, and were they shut out of the race?
I don't know of anyone that had that issue.
And yeah, I didn't see any unhappy people or anything. There were some of them that, again, you need to go get this document, you need to go get that, but everything seemed to be flowing relatively smoothly.
The main issue seemed to be that people who tried to use the Disneyland half for their castle portion of the challenge, though, because that race was just a couple weeks before Disneyland Paris, the race certificates were actually not available online for them to be able to download and print. So there were some people, I think, that were having to go in, print a copy of the page that had their just their race results on it, and then show that at the expo so they could get their Castle de Chateau wristband.
And the thing that you had to fill out was something that was, you had to actually bring that specific document to your doctor. You couldn't just print out,
yes.
like I could just print out my physical results.
Wow. Yeah, you had to have this particular piece of paper and have your doctor fill it out and sign it.
Wow.
So, in other words, guys, just running the race. Running the race was the easiest part of the whole thing.
The registration process was a little bit, it was very different than what we're used to. So it was a little bit unclear. Things happened really late. We finally got the race registration link in December. The waivers and stuff, let's see, the race voucher we didn't get, I think, until maybe 2 weeks before we left. And the actual race waiver part, we got that emailed to us the morning of the 16th, which was the day we left for Paris.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Now that one, they had boxes of blanks at the expo, and so that was not really a problem. But yeah, things happen kind of late, not in quite as timely a fashion as we're used to. Information on the race, like what the course was going to be and things like that, that information was also very, very late. Those kinds of things were different than what we're used to.
Hmm. You're very kind. You're being very kind.
So who worked at the expo? Was it volunteers as it is in...
Yes.
Okay.
They said they had 1,000 volunteers over the course of the weekend.
Yeah, and they did have Run Disney people from the U.S. around, in addition to, you know, a lot of French people, and everybody spoke English, so it's okay.
Who did they have a speaker series at the expo?
They did.
And was Jeff there?
No.
No.
Did no. You,
wow.
Paula Radcliffe was the race ambassador, okay. And she was there. And then
the race director,
Laurent Charbonnier.
One of the Disney Imagineers who'd had a lot to do with setting up Disney Paris talked. It had nothing to do with running. It was more secrets and interesting things about Disneyland Paris. And they had a couple sessions of that. And unfortunately, we missed both of those. But the speaker series had much less, fewer speakers than typical. I think there was 5 or 6, I think, in a day, probably.
And they would do them in English and French. So, you know, given that there were, I think, 30% of the people in the race, I think, were from France. I think 37% were from the U.S.
Ah, interesting.
So, what aspects of the expo over there at Disneyland Paris did you find an improvement over what we've seen stateside in Anaheim and in Orlando?
I don't know that I would say there was anything that was an improvement over what we've seen. The expo was the weakest part of the weekend, I think.
Oh, okay. Good.
But in general,
good.
I mean, if you
could. Good observation.
Done a run Disney race, it would not have been unfamiliar or surprising, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd sort of say that about the whole experience. But, you know, the expo, you started with packet pickup. They had a whole bunch of windows for packet pickup. They were having computer problems, so packet pickup wasn't going as smoothly for all of the windows. Some of them were going fast, and some of them, there was a Run Disney person standing there helping the volunteers, and they were having problems.
I'm sorry, what was the computer? Like, usually the bibs are all...
They were scanning the barcode on the bib when it was picked up.
Oh, I see.
And so
okay.
Scanning part of it was not working with the laptop computers that they had at some of the stations.
Okay.
So that was very different than what we're used to. So we did not actually, you know, sign a line in the book that we picked up our bib.
I see. Okay.
They scanned it.
Okay.
Instead.
And so,
which actually would have been better if it worked.
Would have been what?
It would have been better if it worked.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Look through that stupid book and sign it. Yeah.
The other thing that was very different and was a big problem the first day was, rather than getting our Castle de Chateau wristband when we picked up our bib, there was a separate line we had to go to do that. And that was the longest line in the place. And it wasn't working because, again, there had been some computer problem. So we ended up going back the next day to do that.
Interesting. All right. So when you got to merchandise, was there a preview? Were you able to see things ahead of time?
They had things on. They had merchandise online. Well, a peek at what there was going to be, and there didn't look like there was going to be very much of it. Mm-hmm. And yes, there was not very much of it. Okay. So that was quite disappointing. It was the least merchandise that I've ever seen at an expo.
Especially for inaugural, huh?
Yes. Now, Lee is over here making faces at me because he doesn't agree.
Well, I wouldn't say it was quite disappointing. I mean, there's a lot of the Run Disney events lately where there's not a huge amount of merch. The Star Wars and Marvel and the ones where they can do lots of different stuff seem to have more merchandise. But they had the I Did It shirts, which were nice. And then for some, I will say, strange reason, the half shirts that they gave us were gray, the race shirts, and all of the to buy shirts pretty much were gray. And there was like 3 or 4 variations of, you know, Disneyland Paris half marathon shirts. But, you know, that was sort of it, was the I Did It shirts. And I think there was 4 or 5 of these variations of the the other shirt that you could buy. And then, you know, there was the mugs and hats and stuff like that. But it certainly both was physically a much smaller, I mean, I would say the shop was half the size of the smaller Race Expo merchandise areas.
Were people going crazy?
Not when we got in there, but we were several hours after opening. Mm-hmm. Okay, we were a couple hours after opening, my wife tells me. And now, I could care less about pins. She was very frustrated over pins. So that's, I think, part of why. And then the other thing, they didn't have, well, there wasn't a challenge officially, so there was no challenge merchandise. Mm-hmm. And then for some strange reason, it seems like they didn't get the Castle to Chateau shirt done in time. So when they handed us our registration stuff, they gave us a little flyer that you could go, and as far as I can tell, anybody, frankly, could go to the Disney store and go to the Run Disney section, and there's a Castle to Chateau shirt that you can actually order right now.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. So what about prices?
I think prices, I thought the shirt prices were actually not too bad. And you know, Lee mentioned the pins. There were only, there were only six pins available. Five of them were limited. One of them was an open edition pin. But the limited edition pins were, two of them that I wanted were gone by the time I got to the register.
Oh, no.
Less than 2 hours after the expo had opened.
Oh.
And they just completely misjudged the quantity that they should order, which, I mean, they regularly do. And oh,
yes,
but one nice thing about the expo here, they were actually limiting the number of pins you could purchase. It was one pin of each type per transaction. So you couldn't go and buy 10 of the mini half marathon medal pin. You could buy one. And Lee and I was trying to buy some for a friend of mine. And so we said, well, there's two of us, can we buy two? And they said, no, it has to be a separate transaction. So, okay, he bought one pin and I bought the other.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
You know.
Pins were 15 euros, I think. So they were that, I think that's higher than what we pay here.
My shirt was, if it had been dollars, it would have been about exactly the same price. I mean, I think it was like roughly 30 euros, which, so it was like a 1.12 euro to dollar exchange rate. So, you know, it was like $35 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm learning more. Okay, so let me ask you one more question about the expo before we move on to the races, and that is, I mean, you've seen the expos in Disneyland and in Disney World. Crowd-wise, how would you compare?
Much lighter crowds, because the people who were rushing the expo on Thursday afternoon when it opened were all the Americans.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, well, because we know how it is typically, so... those were the people that were there trying to get everything done and get their merchandise early.
Well, and it was during the day and a work day. So it also the locals, it just wasn't as convenient a time for them.
Yeah.
The other thing is we know roughly how many people were in the 5K and the half, and there were not nearly as many people as you would get on a normal Disney race weekend. So there just weren't as many to crowd the expo.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, so this is Thursday?
No, the expo opened on Thursday at 3 o'clock.
Okay. All right. And we'll talk about the resort a little bit, but you were staying on property?
Right.
So
yeah, most of the
because it's kind registration of outside of Paris, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was easy to walk over to the expo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything's very close there.
Ooh, motorcycle's riding by.
Motorcycle going by.
All right. So the 5K was on
Saturday.
Saturday. So you had some time to tour the park. Should we talk about the 5K?
Let's talk about the 5K before we close this part.
What was the theme of the 5K?
It was Ratatouille.
Okay.
Yeah. So the medal and the shirt had Remy on them.
Well, that's kind of different.
Yeah.
But so expected, that was, I guess.
That's cute. And it started at the very civilized hour of 7 o'clock.
Wow. Oh, lovely. Yeah. Wow. Lovely. That so what, nice. What time were you in the corrals?
6:15.
We were in the corrals about 6:30.
Okay.
And the corrals were, for the 5K, the corrals were assigned, which was kind of different from a lot of the races.
Based on time?
Assigned randomly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So unfortunately, even though Lee and I registered together, I was in B and he was in C.
Oh, how silly.
Yeah. So to run together, I had to go back to C, which meant a whole lot of people started ahead of us.
Well, and the funny thing is we registered with relatively fast times too. We could not figure out for the life of us, you know, what algorithm they used, unless it was last name or something weird like that, that, you know, how we ended up in the corrals that we did.
Oh, interesting. And where you guys are running to see the characters, that's kind of a pain because you kind of run ahead usually.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. So the theme is a rat. And tell me about the who were the announcers?
We have no idea. One of the things with the 5K that was very frustrating, there were no speakers and no video monitors in the corrals. So if you weren't up in corral A, you couldn't hear anything. You couldn't see anything. We had no idea what was going on. We had no idea when the race started for sure. It's frustrating.
No idea when the race started, which seems like a detail that might be important.
Again, I believe my wife has overstated the level. We could see the start line from where we were in the crowd.
Okay.
And so, you know, you see the fireworks that went off, you know, a couple minutes before when start was supposed to be. And then they were releasing, I would call it puffs of smoke, basically.
Yeah. So a new pope was elected while you're.
The start line had like five or six little tubes on it, and probably CO2 actually came out of it. You know,
it was every probably time French people like, smoking. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Oh boy.
Yeah, like Lee just said, they start even though there were three corrals within the corrals, they started us in waves.
Wow, interesting.
So right. They'd let 100 people start or something, and then they'd go another minute and let another 100 start or something like that. A couple hundred, maybe.
So I'm assuming that the start was in French, en français.
Well, we would have had to hear it to know.
Yeah. The announcers who were there, they weren't anybody we knew or recognized, but they did speak both French and English. And when we got close enough where we could hear them, yeah, they were switching back and forth.
Okay. So half the people would start and the other half would wait for their language. Oh, start. Okay. That's funny. So what were the characters along the way?
Oh, so this is the one thing that Disneyland Paris did so much better than any race here in the United States. In the 5K, there were at least 11 character stops.
Wow.
And a lot of them had more than one character there. I mean, they put together. So but the problem was we were so far back that the lines were really long, and so we didn't stop.
Oh, wow.
The character stops. The only one we stopped for was Spider-Man at the end of the race because the line was really short. But
when I think of Ratatouille, I think of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I guess it was not along the themes of Ratatouille. It was just...
Well, yeah, once you got in there. But there was a character stop that had Remy, Linguini, and Emile out together. We saw Mary Poppins, Bert, and a penguin. There was Chewbacca and R2-D2.
I just threw every character. That's funny.
But really, I mean, how many characters could you put out that go along with Ratatouille?
That's true. Like a big piece of cheese or something. I don't know. Yeah.
So they just put out all kinds of characters, which was actually really a lot of fun to see. And there were some great photo opportunities, but because, again, we started so late, the lines were very long.
So, which is interesting because I've always opined, and I think Mike and I have had this discussion.
I think this is the first time opined has been used on the podcast. But... Go ahead.
Why don't you put twice as many characters, you know, out in the park, and the lines will be half as long? Well, it turns out it actually doesn't work that way. You just, I think there's a self, there's a limit to how long a line most people will get in, and there's always going to be thousands more people than you can actually have character lines. So if you have twice as many characters, you just end up with 1,000 people in line instead of 500 or something like that. Lines are still long, but at least there were that many less people that were frustrated because they were in the race and, you know, didn't get character photos.
How many people were in this race, you think?
It was between 5,000 and 6,000.
Okay.
Of the 3.1 mile distance, what percent of that was inside the Magic Kingdom or Disneyland Paris? And would you how would you compare it to what we've seen stateside?
Well, I think that there was more park time, more onstage park time than we've typically seen here. We did not run in very many backstage areas. So when we left the start line, again, the start line was pretty much near the end of Downtown Disney, and you run, I don't know, a tenth of a mile, and we were inside Disneyland.
Yeah.
Maybe 0.2 miles, and we were inside Disneyland on Main Street. And so we went through Main Street. We went through Discovery Land, which is their Tomorrowland. We went through Fantasyland and Adventureland. And so about a little less than 3K was either – well, we left Disneyland just a little bit before the 3K mark. So most of the race was in Disneyland. And then the last kilometer – the fourth kilometer was pretty much in the studios. We didn't run quite as much in the studios. The final kilometer was backstage – and then in some access roads that got us back over to the finish line. So, you know, of that, four kilometers basically was interesting onstage Disney property, okay, which I thought was really good for a 5K.
Cool. And was the makeup mostly adults? Was it families? Or did they allow strollers?
No strollers. Lots of kids.
Oh, good.
But not as many, I think, as you would see in a 5K in the States.
Okay.
I'd say it was 90% adults, mm-hmm, probably something like that.
And costumes?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, some.
Again, probably not as many as you'd see in the States, but I was very surprised by the number of the American runners that apparently had packed steamer trunks so that they could bring costumes for both races with them.
I wore my Belle costume for the 5K, mm-hmm, so I brought a costume to wear.
Wow. And so the age-old question is, what about the when you finish the race refreshment box?
We didn't get a box this time.
Oh, you got croissants and a bottle of wine?
I wish we'd gotten croissants. No, we got an apple, and then they gave us a bag that had handles.
Ooh,
so you could carry it.
Wow.
And it just had a cereal bar and some peanuts in it. But still, you know, after a 5K, you don't really need that much. But the bag meant we had a place to carry the water, get Powerade if you've gotten that. One thing they handed out at the end of the race was a lactose-free chocolate or vanilla milk drink, which was really good, I thought.
Yeah, they had bananas, too.
That was the half.
Just what I think about at the end of a race, a lactose-free drink. It's kind of random sounding. Cool!
But it was lactose-free milk.
Yeah, so I think a croissant and a bottle of wine would have been better. Maybe some cheese, but...
We agree.
Oh, may we. So?
So we will wrap up part one of our discussion with Lee and Laura Gilbreth. Lee Zimmerman and Laura Gilbreth for the Disneyland inaugural half marathon weekend, and we want everyone to join us. Part two, Lee and Laura, can you join us and talk about the half marathon?
Sure.
Of course.
Of course. I had
May
a feeling
we.
You would
May
say
we,
that.
Monsieur.
So again, before we sign off, we want to remind everyone that if you want to read more details about Lee and Laura's adventures, you could go to alias.net, where Laura has a blog that is entitled Salute to All Things Disney, but mostly Disneyland.
I don't think she mentions Lee in these adventures.
We will
just,
also
they're
have,
only hers.
We will have a link to the blog in the show notes. I actually put some show notes together for this.
Wow.
So for Lee Zimmerman, for Laura Gilbreth, for Michelle Scriven-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying adieu.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.